NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight, the FDA fast-tracking full approval of Pfizer's COVID vaccine as the Delta variant surges across the U.S. The FDA moving up its timeline with full approval potentially in a matter of weeks. Will it convince the unvaccinated to get the shot? It comes as a rising number of children are filling hospitals. And breaking news from the White House, the plan to require foreign nationals to be vaccinated to enter the U.S. Also tonight, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo defying growing calls to resign, the Democrat facing new inquiries after a state attorney general report found he sexually harassed 11 women. If Cuomo will not step down, will he become the first New York governor in more than a century to be impeached? The fourth day of troubles for Spirit Airlines, over half its flights canceled. What's causing the chaos? The migrant surge hitting a more than 20-year high in July with a record number of unaccompanied children. We're at the border.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Tokyo.
We start with news on COVID vaccines. Tonight, as daily infection numbers continue to mount across the U.S., the FDA may be moving more quickly to give final approval to Pfizer's vaccine. It was the first to receive emergency use authorization back in December. Sign-off for final approval could happen in just weeks and make it easier for institutions to mandate vaccinations. The urgency to increase vaccination rates underscored by daily new infections on the rise, according to an NBC News count, now exceeding 146,000. Deaths now at 660 a day. Our Miguel Almaguer has more.
Instead of sometime this fall, the FDA could give Pfizer's vaccine final approval by early next month. NBC News learning federal authorities are moving forward as rapidly as possible as the Delta variant proliferates across the nation. The transition from emergency use authorization could help more public and private institutions mandate the vaccine and offer a shot of confidence for the 90 million Americans eligible but not yet vaccinated.
Moving towards full approval will dramatically increase vaccine rates amongst the unvaccinated.
While the FDA just reaffirmed their position on boosters, saying Americans don't need one for now, tonight the WHO is calling for a moratorium on the extra dose, arguing vaccine-rich countries should first help the rest of the world.
Amid the push to vaccinate in Los Angeles, the city council could soon hear an ordinance that would require customers to have at least one dose of a vaccine before they enter public spaces like restaurants, shopping centers, and gyms.
In September, New York City will start enforcing similar guidelines, but doctors say requiring just a single dose won't offer the public much protection.
It doesn't make sense that New York City would only mandate one dose proof. They should mandate two dose proof and leave it at that so there's clarity and consistency.
With Dr. Fauci reaffirming our nation's daily COVID cases could double by fall, there is also growing concern a new variant could elude current vaccines. In Florida, where spiking cases pushed one hospital system to turn conference rooms and a cafeteria into patient care centers, COVID is coming with a cost.
It's very difficult to have someone, a family member, die, and you're not there with them.
Tonight, the evolving toll of this pandemic and the price no family should pay. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
I'm Morgan Chesky in New Orleans, where tonight, as the Delta variant packs hospitals, doctors are seeing a new type of patient.
We're concerned because we're seeing some very sick kids.
At Children's Hospital in New Orleans, Dr. Mark Klein says patients under 17 years old make up 1 in 5 new cases and are especially vulnerable since many don't qualify for the vaccine. 16-year-old Riley Bro did qualify.
There's my girl.
But her family held off. She's now spent the last 3 days on oxygen.
That is the absolute scary part, is how fast it happened.
We met the family after doctors cleared Riley to go home.
Is it still a little tough to breathe right now?
Yes, sir.
Mom Casey's saying what started with a fever soon led to pneumonia.
It is hard as a parent to see your child in a hospital. Possibly, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next.
Nationwide, youth COVID cases are on the rise. The American Academy of Pediatrics reporting more than 70,000 new infections just last week.
We can see very clearly that children can be severely infected and affected. And I hope that that will motivate more parents to obtain vaccine.
The Bro family now booking their vaccine shots soon.
Seeing what she went through, I'm taking it.
That was enough to change
my
mind.
That was enough to change my mind.
A lesson they hope others listen to. Morgan Chesky, NBC News, New Orleans.
There's breaking news from the White House tonight on new vaccine rules for travelers. The Biden administration planning to mandate foreign nationals be vaccinated to enter the U.S. once international travel restrictions are lifted. There's no timeline set yet. New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo is digging in, ignoring calls to resign, and now faces possible impeachment after an independent inquiry found he sexually harassed 11 women. Cuomo says it didn't happen. Gabe Gutierrez has more.
Governor Cuomo's got to go!
From New York City to Albany, today the calls for Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign grew even louder.
He's got to go.
In a remarkable joint statement, Democratic governors of neighboring states are urging Cuomo to step down following President Biden's earlier call for him to resign. Independent investigators say Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women, including 9 state employees and a state trooper assigned to his security detail that he first met at this event in 2017. Another accuser, Charlotte Bennett.
We should impeach the governor.
Bennett was Cuomo's assistant. In a clip released by the Attorney General's office, Cuomo banters with Bennett over the phone, then briefly sings to her.
Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? Do you care?
Bennett told NBC's Kate Snow Cuomo would go further.
He started asking questions about, you know, my sex life.
What did you think his intent was?
He said he was looking for a girlfriend. He was propositioning me for sex.
In that pre-recorded statement Tuesday, Cuomo forcefully denied all of the allegations, including Bennett's.
I have heard Charlotte and her lawyer. Simply put, they heard things that I just didn't say.
He argues the investigation was politically biased, even though his own office called for it.
In your view, is there any way he avoids impeachment?
No, I don't believe he does.
Andrea Stewart-Cousins is the top Democrat in the state Senate.
There are 11 credible women who have come forward courageously, told their stories, and those stories were corroborated by others.
At least 3 local DAs have now announced they're looking into the case for possible criminal charges. Lester?
All right, Gabe, thank you. In just 60 seconds, an airline struggling, thousands stranded again.
Friday night on an all-new Dateline.
It's a horror movie that is your life.
It has been a bit of an untold story in a lot of ways.
2 unsolved murders, the clue that took decades to find, and the arrest at the ends of the earth.
I often wonder, did he try to put this out of his mind, or was he thinking about it every night when he went to bed? Were you just waiting for that knock on the door?
Dateline, Friday at 9, 8 Central, only on NBC.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with 16-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys to talk about a career full of beautiful music and the new Broadway musical inspired by her own life. You can get our conversation now for free wherever you download your podcasts.
Yet another day of frustration for thousands of Spirit Airlines passengers. Hundreds more flights canceled. Tom Costello joins us. Tom, it's just getting worse.
Lester, this is now the fourth day of trouble for Spirit Airlines. We've seen passengers stuck in hours-long lines at Newark, at San Jose, Las Vegas, and Fort Lauderdale. The flight cancellations have grown all week. 19% of flights on Sunday, 40% Monday, 61% Tuesday, another 60% today. Spirit is blaming this meltdown on the surge in airline travel this summer, volatile weather, staffing shortages, and computer problems. The airline says it is rebooting its systems to start fresh. The timing could not be worse, right at the peak of the summer vacation season. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thanks. New record numbers at the southern border revealing the historic scope of the migrant surge. Top Border Patrol officials tell our Julia Ainsley it's like nothing they've seen before.
Despite scorching summer heat, tonight the record migrant surge is growing. 210,000 apprehensions by Border Patrol in July, a more than 20-year high, and 19,000 unaccompanied children were picked up, the largest number ever recorded. Here in the Del Rio sector, officials say hundreds of migrants have been packed under this bridge, and they're worried about the spread of COVID. ICE is now stepping in to provide tests and even offer vaccines. And in the Rio Grande Valley, we saw a massive group of migrants kept under a bridge by those trees. Is this a breakdown of the system?
This is not seasonal. I do think that what we're dealing with is much different than what we've dealt with in the past.
Deputy Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz telling us the Biden administration is now deporting more families who don't qualify for asylum.
Friday, we had our first flight of Central America's and Northern Triangle countries back to Central America, and these are family units.
We met one-year-old Angel, who slept under that bridge with his parents. They brought him here from Nicaragua in hopes of a better life.
We didn't have anywhere to sleep. We had to sleep on the dirt itself. We put down a sweater and laid him down so he could sleep.
Now they're heading to Miami, allowed to stay while applying for asylum. But tonight, the Biden administration is facing growing backlash over its border policies, including the recent unprecedented step of releasing 50,000 migrants into the U.S. without court dates. Eddie Guerra is the Hidalgo County Sheriff.
It just doesn't seem that our officials in Washington are listening to us, and we all feel abandoned. We have a crisis down here.
McAllen Mayor Javier Villalobos filing a disaster declaration.
Last night we had up to 1,800 immigrants come in, and Catholic charities can't handle it anymore.
Meanwhile, immigration advocates are taking the administration to court for keeping COVID-19 restrictions that send some migrants back.
Sending families with small children back to danger is not authorized by the law.
And the numbers continue to rise. Border Patrol now stopping more than 5,000 immigrants crossing the southern border each day. Julia Ainsley, NBC News, Del Rio, Texas.
We're taking a deeper look at the CDC's new eviction moratorium. Welcome relief for millions of renters. Stephanie Rule explains.
Nikiah Hodges appeared in court this morning to fight eviction over an alleged lease violation.
My house situation is not good. Like, me and my son have been washing up with cold water for over a month now.
She says her landlord shut off her utilities and wants her out. The single mother lost her job during the pandemic and is among the estimated 6.9 million households behind on rent. She hopes the CDC's new moratorium on evictions, which extends until October 3rd, helps keep her in her home.
If I do get locked out, I really wouldn't have nowhere to go.
She applied for rental assistance, but so far has not received any, and she's far from alone. According to an NBC News investigation, of the billions of dollars provided by Congress for emergency rental assistance, as of mid-July, 26 states had distributed less than 10% of the money allocated to them. Landlords like Stacey Johnson Cosby in Kansas City need the money, too.
Are you not getting that money?
Well, it's coming slowly. So there are some people, if you can find where to apply, how to apply, because the process is really cumbersome. And then once it is applied, it's a 4 to 6 week turnaround time to even find out if a caseworker has been assigned.
The CDC's moratorium is designed in part to allow for more time for that distribution. And the Biden administration is pushing for states to simplify their application process.
This latest move by the CDC is likely going to face legal challenges right away. In June, the Supreme Court indicated without an act of Congress, it was unlikely to uphold an eviction moratorium. Lester?
Stephanie Ruhle, thank you. President Biden is pledging $100 million in humanitarian aid to Lebanon as the country marks 1 year since more than 200 people died in a catastrophic explosion. Our Molly Hunter is in Beirut tonight.
1 year after the devastating Beirut port explosion, the Lebanese are fighting back.
Justice has to be served. This regime has to go down.
There has been no investigation, no accountability, and for the victims, no justice.
The Lebanese security forces just fired tear gas. You see the protesters going back now. They're going towards the parliament. They are banging. They are throwing stones. They are trying to get in because that is who they blame for the Beirut blast.
Protests today turning violent, at least six injured. The explosion last year struck St. George's Hospital. Nurse Pamela Zeynoun grabbed three preemie babies out of their incubators. This picture going viral, she ran 3 miles to the next hospital. A year later, all three are thriving.
I feel the pain every day, but I have to be strong for these babies because I work with them. I've become a tougher woman. I've become more strong. I do not fear anything anymore because I've been through the worst.
But for most of the country living under the poverty line, unable to afford food, with the currency in free fall, it's not getting better. And tonight, thousands are united, demanding change. Molly Hunter, NBC News, Beirut.
This week, the Tokyo Olympics coincides with the 76th anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing. Keir Simmons on the lasting impact being felt there.
Bomb blast in everything's completely destroyed.
Tomoko Watanabe vividly describes the horror of Hiroshima.
Ash falling from the sky. Gray only. No color.
But her story is of hope.
I was born in Hiroshima, 1953. And my parents are airborne survivors.
In 1945, desperate victims sought refuge in the Shukian Gardens, about a mile from where the U.S. dropped the first atomic bomb.
Many, many people came to this garden and drank water and died.
Even the trees here were incinerated. But she says, miraculously, some survived.
Like a symbol of the hope and the peace and the living together in harmony.
The inferno in 1945 seemed to extinguish life itself. You'd never know it now. To be here is to truly know all scars can heal. Now she sends young trees from Hiroshima around the world to the Truman Library and to Fukushima after its nuclear disaster. This summer, the Olympic torch passed through Fukushima and Hiroshima.
What were you trying to say to the people in Fukushima?
Fukushima people, you have a hope.
Hope and the capacity for all of us, everywhere, like the trees of Hiroshima, to recover.
These trees teach us. Listen to the voice of the trees. Tree is a right.
And Keir joining me now. This was your first time at Hiroshima.
That's right, Lester. Hiroshima inevitably brings to mind all those black and white images. But what you find is a vibrant city that represents resilience and rising from the ashes. That's the message Watanabe says she'll keep sharing.
All right, Keir, thanks very much. That's nightly news for this Wednesday from Tokyo. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.